Bible headline, we'll call it the triumphal entry. Today, our message is simply entitled, Jesus Chooses His Seat. Hi there. Welcome to Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon as we continue our journey through Mark. We turn our attention to chapter 11 today and those first 11 verses where Jesus enters into Jerusalem on a donkey. What an amazing seat for a king. And this is the focus of our time today. We invite you to spend it with us as we explore Mark chapter 11 together. You'll find more information about us on our website, agradio.org. agradio.org. Here's Pastor Chris, today's program.
Jesus, taking his seat on a donkey, riding to death, is how the kingdom comes. That's what was being said. Now, I don't think they understood that for a minute, but they're fulfilling what the Old Testament talked about. Jesus is. And at this point, for Mark's readers, he is drawing heavily, and I believe all the Gospels do this in this great moment of the triumphal entry, they're drawing heavily on the Old Testament to show and say one great thing to us. This is the moment that it all anticipated. This is the moment that it was all looking for. And as I thought this week about the love of God, and last time how we looked at our struggle with the love of God, with this picture before he went to this cross of a blind beggar, a nobody, sitting out in the cheap seats, having nobody, being a nobody, brought to the front in front of everyone, you had the whole story that the last shall be first because he just became last. Well, in that way, you have the most beautiful account displaying this morning the sacrificial love of the Lord. As we open up chapter 11, we see this great detail given on the preparation and retrieving of a donkey, or a colt in this case. You know, this is seven verses of this whole section on this particular issue. Seven verses to deal with the bringing and seating of Jesus on this colt. As we come to verse 1, now we read that when they drew near Jerusalem to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, we read that Jesus sent two of his disciples to get this donkey. Bethany is located on the eastern slope of the Mount of Olives. It is a 2,900-foot hill facing Jerusalem. So they came down the eastern slope, entering the Kidron Valley, and they would come to Jerusalem. He had just come from Jericho, which was a 21-mile trip, most of which was uphill. His heart has been set the entire time to come here. This is where he's wanted to be. So from verses 2 through 7, we have this sort of odd moment where Jesus says, I want you to go get this animal and bring him so that I can now ride into Jerusalem. So you'll notice in verse 2, it says that. And he said to them, go into the village in front of you, and immediately as you will enter it, you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, why are you doing this? Say, the Lord has need of it, and we'll send it back here immediately. What a remarkable thing that more ink has been spilled over and tried to be explained to us of what this very strange occurrence really, really means. I thought to myself this last week, it wouldn't work if I tried it, you know. If I said, hey, over down at the Ford dealership, I'd like one of you guys to go down and get me one of those brand new F-150s. And if anyone asks, why are you taking the truck? Say, Pastor Gordon needs it. I'd then have to visit you at the jail, wouldn't I? This really is quite a moment. It's clearly demonstrating the power of Jesus over everything, isn't it? He is Lord. He says the Lord needs it. I'm Lord. You tell him that. They'll give it up. It's quite a moment. Think about that. But it really doesn't make sense to us, does it? Why this detail? Why does it matter? It says a donkey that no one's ever ridden. Now, I've had this explained, really not explained to me in a way that totally makes sense to me. At least I've heard a good explanation for it in the past, but I've still never understood the why. I've never really grasped it. I mean, to make 7 out of the 11 verses, as we have it recorded here, about this particular issue, means that it is something important that the Spirit wanted us to understand. But why a donkey? And everyone says, well, it points to Jesus' humility. It shows his royalty. But do we understand that? Humility and royalty. Alexander the Great rode on horses. When he was going to war, he was a champion. And this is why I come back to Barnhouse. This is why it's so helpful to preach through a book. As I was going through that shelf and I picked up Barnhouse on Mark, the Servant Gospel, listen to the preface again. Mark is the gospel of the Lord as servant. The gospel of the Lord of glory who showed his glory by becoming little for us. He descends, he condescends, he stoops, he serves, he dies. That is his glory. And he goes on, remember I described that the first time he saw King George VI at his coronation with all of his robes and all of his pomp. And then later he saw him again after London, a picture of George, after London had been bombed by the Nazis and was in rubble, and George was standing there with Churchill. And he says, I saw him looking totally unremarkable in a derby hat. He saw the suffering of the people, and George wept. When the people saw that, they kept saying over and over, when they saw their king in that kind of state, in a humbled state, in a derby hat, the people, when they saw him with that kind of love, kept saying, he loves us. He loves us. And Barnhouse says, that was the noblest picture of King George I had ever seen. And when I want to look at the King of glory, the Lord Jesus Christ, when I want to see him in his glory, I look at him dying on a cross for me, says Barnhouse. That the King of glory, and think about how remarkable this gospel is. He speaks of in his high priestly prayer the glory that he had with his Father before the world was. The train of his robe filling the temple, remember. When you want to see the noblest picture of Jesus, look at him here. Hasn't that been what Mark's saying to us? Look at him here. Maybe we've heard the triumphal entry preached so much we can't even identify it. We don't, it just ho-hum, ho-hum. And we sort of sit here, standing over it. Do you see it? He's fulfilling the entire Bible. He's fulfilling all of history of what the Scriptures proclaimed. He's fulfilling Zechariah 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation. He is lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. That's the noblest picture of Jesus. Because he's been telling us the whole time that that is the path of greatness. Where the Son of Man would not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. This is God's Son. Well, I could stop the sermon here, but maybe I can help you to appreciate this a little bit more. I still have an answer, why the donkey? And I'm not overly dogmatic on what I'm about to say, but I can't help but see that this was told to us all throughout history. The real key, it says that he had never sat. No one had ever sat on this donkey, this colt. Jesus is entering Jerusalem as we have historically celebrated it and understood it during the Passover week, which would have had many things going on at this time. And we know that there would have been thousands of Passover lambs being prepared this week and brought into the city. Josephus would record that there would be 256,000 of them at this time eaten as part of the feast, that all of these lambs that were brought into Jerusalem. Seems like a lot of blood, doesn't it? He comes walking into Jerusalem when all these lambs are being prepared for the Passover. And I got to thinking, last week, where does that come from? Where does that instruction come from? Why is this all colliding at the same time? And you know that those instructions for the Passover were given back in the book of Exodus. And they were given to speak of, in anticipation, the Lamb of God who would come and take away the sins of the world. This is fulfillment. But here's what I want you to think about. Do you know what God also originally gave in the midst of these Passover instructions? A strange set of laws about the redemption of unclean things. This is where I want you to turn for a minute to Exodus 13. Exodus 13. And I want you to look at verse 11. When the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites, as he swore to you and your fathers, and shall give it to you, you shall set apart to the Lord all that first opens the womb. All the firstborn of your animals that are male shall be the Lord's. Every firstborn of a donkey you shall redeem with a lamb. Or, if you will not redeem it, you shall break its neck. Every firstborn of man among your sons you shall redeem. Strange, you say. Now stay with me on this. Here was the law. Every firstborn of clean animals were to be given to the Lord as a sacrifice. God said, you must first give me your firstborn of the clean animals and they will be offered up as a sacrifice. Why? Well, the basic meaning to that was the Lord was teaching them something. The Lord wanted them always to know and remember that the Lord required the death of the firstborn in Egypt. So the Lord said, you must consecrate all your firstborn clean animals to me. The clean would be sacrificed, but what about the unclean? Well, notice what he said. But you can redeem, of all animals to choose of unclean, the firstborn of an unclean donkey and your firstborn son. He just put a firstborn of an unclean donkey in the same category as your unclean son. They can be redeemed. The marvel is they could be bought back with what? A lamb. I could tell you there were many donkeys' necks broken in Israel because a young lamb was a high price to pay for redeeming an unclean donkey. But don't miss this. Donkeys were put in categories with firstborn sons who were unclean. So their firstborn sons had to be redeemed. They had to be redeemed. Get that. The Lord was teaching them. He put their firstborn children in the same category of unclean donkeys, and they were always to explain this to their children. Sons, you are like an unclean donkey, but a price needs to be paid. And just like we're going to redeem this unclean donkey, we can redeem you with a lamb without spot. So we can redeem our unclean donkey. Now think about, there's donkeys in Israel during the Passover for a reason. If not, we have to break its neck. But that would be costly. It is costly for us to offer a lamb in the place, isn't it? To be sacrificed. Well, they were always to teach our children this. This is what you deserve. This is what you deserve. You would be lost unless you're bought back. You would be lost unless you're redeemed. The gospel is constantly being proclaimed to Israel in the wilderness. You could be redeemed with the blood of a lamb. So we set apart our firstborn sons to the Lord. They represent all of us who need to be redeemed. That was the point. It was teaching them that. We all need to be. Well, this background is way more in the mind of the Jews than we Gentiles appreciate. It explains why Mary and Joseph, when they first were going up to Jerusalem, what they were doing with Jesus when they took their firstborn, and the scriptures quote, they presented him to the Lord as it was written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord. That's Exodus 13, Luke 2. Here's the scene. Now we have learned who he is. He's the Son of God, eternal, firstborn over all creation. In front of his disciples, he says, I want you to go get this unclean donkey, this colt, the firstborn of an unclean donkey. I want you to go get it. It's never been written. It's never been backed. It was unbacked, the text says. John calls it a very young donkey. It was a firstborn, and since the Passover was going to be celebrated, it was going to be redeemed. Jesus says, tell them it's the Lord's. Well, they know that history. Jesus is using Exodus. Tell them it's the Lord's. So they untie it, and they bring back the donkey, and they note what they do. They bring the colt to Jesus, and they threw their clothes on it. And in the Luke and the Matthew passage, Jesus was set on this donkey, this unclean animal. They cast their unclean garments on the unclean donkey, and Jesus identifies with it. Now listen to Zechariah 9. Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He's just and having salvation. He's saving. The Lamb of God has come, riding on a donkey. They understood that. They got that. They knew this history. God is offering His Son to buy us back. It's the presentation. This is how the heavenly kingdom comes. The message was everywhere in the Old Testament. How about this? Abraham, take now your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and take him to Mount Moriah. You know that's where the temple is. That's where it would be. Offer him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and he split wood for the burnt offering. The donkey carries his son to the place of sacrifice. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his two men, stay here with the donkey and the lad, and I will go yonder. The lad and I will go yonder and worship. Wood is then put on Isaac's back. He carries it, wood, to the place of sacrifice. Abraham's firstborn son, your only son, is put on the altar. And as immediately as the knife is raised, God says, stop. Stop. I've got a substitute. And he puts the ram on the altar. And the fire of God's wrath fell right there on that sacrifice. Well, here's the story in fulfillment. Here's the story of all of redemptive history coming to fulfillment. Jesus rides on that donkey and has to go up himself with wood on the back, the cross. And he becomes the substitute. And now you understand, I hope, that even if the whole donkey connection you're struggling to see, the main message of this is so clear. We're all unclean. All our righteousness is like that. And it's an amazing moment for what he had come to do. But the people didn't see it. Mark wants us to see that many spread their clothes on the road and others cut down leafy branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And then those who went before and followed cried out, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. That's what they would sing at the time of the Passover. But listen to what comes after in Psalm 118. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. God is the Lord. He's given us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar. They didn't sing that. Abraham, I'm not going to require the death of your firstborn son who represents all of you. He can be bought back. Dear Christians, the triumphal entry says, I'm not going to require your death. I'm going to give my son in your place as the sacrifice. He's going to be bound with cords to the horns of the altar. And that's exactly what would happen. They would take him, They would bind him. They would put big nails right through his wrists into the cross. He would become our altar so that us being unclean can be a purchased possession and brought back into God's favor. That's the gospel. And the consequence is, open to me the gates of righteousness, says the psalm, and I'll go through them and I will praise the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous shall enter. I will praise you, for you've answered me and have become my salvation. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing. It's marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I pray, O Lord. O Lord, I pray, send now prosperity. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Here he is. It happened. I don't think it's wrong to say again that this is not the Jesus that people wanted. Isn't it sad? We've learned that in Mark. The desire for glory, the desire to see the kingdom come in power, not by way of a cross, but by way of a conquering warrior restoring the kingdom now to Israel, would not even leave them at the ascension. Lord, are you now finally going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Are you going to finally now do it? I think there are a lot of worshipers today who are the same. What they expect in this life is that Jesus is here to make their experience great. That Jesus is here to do nothing but pander to their desires. I wouldn't be surprised if there are many Christians in this land today worshiping, thinking that, hoping that Jesus will finally make America great again. But that's not what Christianity has ever been after. He had accomplished by his life, death, and resurrection, opening up heaven to you. That's what he did. To all the nations, he paved the way. And he identified with us and did it. I hope you see what he's done for you today. All of this teaches us it's not about what we offer to God in our life. Our lives are learning to, as we have sort of come full circle in Mark, our lives are learning to receive and trust in the one who would go to such depths for us in confidence that we would enter through his blood. Unless we receive the kingdom that way. Notice, kingdom. Blessed is he who comes. The kingdom. Unless you enter the kingdom of God as a little child. Think about that statement. Unless we receive it as a little child. Whoever does not receive the kingdom as a little child will never enter it. Have you entered today? That's the question. Have you entered today? Have you entered the gates of righteousness? In keeping with this theme, you enter with a broken and contrite heart. You enter recognizing and receiving him who knew no sin but became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That's what we celebrate in Christianity. This is Christianity. And that's the driving point of the passage, that Jesus went for you in your place to the place of sacrifice. That when Barnhouse looked at King George and saw him in that little hat and saw him weeping over the hurt of the people, said, that's the noblest picture of George I'd ever seen. This is the noblest picture of Jesus as we go through the wilderness for us to see now by faith. And one day you'll see him resurrected in glory. So I hope we all say today, Lord, wash me. He says, come, let's reason together. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Praise him that he was bound to the altar for you. And he became your sacrifice, so that today, instead of wrath, you receive love and salvation.
This is Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Just enough time to leave you with our contact information. We'd love to hear from you. It's always a delight knowing you're being blessed by this radio program. Reach out to us at our website, agradio.org. Questions@agradio.org. If you wish to email us any questions you might have or praise reports, comments about the program. Or give us a call, 888-504-8805. By the way, when you visit our website, agradio.org, tons of resource material for you to tap into, as well as links to our other platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Again, all at agradio.org. And that phone number, once again, is 888-504-8805. Looking to write to us? If you're old school, the address for your envelope is Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. Hey, thanks for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.
Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, this is Chris Gordon, pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. I'd like to invite you to our Sunday worship services at 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. We have two worship services, 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. We preach Christ and Him crucified with the goal that you would live in the joy of this comfort in the knowledge of the forgiveness of all of your sins. 1864 North Broadway is the address here in Escondido. We'd love to see you this Sunday.